I'm afraid of your kitty farm idea because we kind of have a kitty plantation right now. And it's
imagine this.
Sick.
We have acres of land. We build an island with like a moat, you know, like a moat. Like it has like a water feature. It's a lazy river. It's not even a moat. It's a lazy river. And you go to the island and there's kittens everywhere. Just kittens live there.
Sounds cruel.
No, but like they grow into full cats.
No, but they're on this island. They can't go anywhere.
Like, no, but it's huge. It's huge. It's big. Okay. It's a big island.
Better be
big. There's tree houses. There's all kinds of kitty trees. They'd love it.
They're outside all day.
Listen, I get to play in my mind when I'm like, "Ooh, no, money's everywhere." Okay, this is the perfect world. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo, aka the Icebreaker Breaker 1, 2, 3. Everybody, am I right?
And I'm Steve Green.
Oh yeah, Steve's here too. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I was doing really well. This morning was like an excellent morning. And then I was brushing my teeth and I got extremely sad because I remembered that Stannis let his daughter burn at the stake. And I was so upset.
That's a huge spoiler.
I got so upset.
For the Game of Thrones.
You just said the show. I wasn't going to say
sorry.
The show. I wasn't going to say
anything.
Huge spoiler.
Could have been that new Adam Sandler movie, Hubie Halloween.
Oh, you know what I just thought? I don't know when this episode is coming out, but people are probably upset about the election. I don't know. I don't know your life, but this is probably coming out after the election, and maybe you were expecting me to be upset about the election, but this is 3 weeks ago, Nikki, that you're listening to, and she was upset about Stannis burning the child at the stake. I am so upset about it. But anyway, I hope that's all working out for you guys. 3 weeks from now, I hope everything's chill.
Let's go again.
I hope everything's chill.
Let's go again.
Okay. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We have more questions from you that you submitted, and we're going to do our best to answer them. I just want to say again, we are not experts, but we're pretty cool. So,
dude, I'm such a non-expert that I fucking caught my hand opening a Gatorade bottle this morning.
Yeah, that's some pussy shit.
No, it's
some
not pussy,
pussy
shit. It's tough ass shit.
Shit.
Because the Gatorade bottles, they make them for athletes only. So if you can get that shit open, you're a fucking athlete.
That's a terrible marketing plan then.
Tell me about it. I don't know what they're up to.
Most of the demographic is not an athlete.
I don't know what they're up to in Gatorade land because they make those bottles impossible to open and they put ridges on them that are fucking razor sharp. So if you can't get it open, your hand is fucked.
Yeah.
And my hand is fucked.
Yeah, it looks pretty fucked. Also, the athletes don't even have to do that. They just get that huge tub, and they just put it in a water glass thing.
And they don't even drink that much of it. They pour it all over the coach.
That's true.
It's ridiculous. I don't even think they like Gatorade.
I don't get Gatorade's marketing. I don't get it.
What the hell are they thinking over there?
I don't know.
Hey, you know what would be great is if they poured all over somebody's back.
Yeah.
That's our drink.
It's so sticky.
Yeah, it's very sticky.
All right. We'll get into these questions now, guys. Hopefully you sent some good ones. I don't pre-screen them, so I'm gonna pick a winner here. Let's see. How about STDTY? That's our show's initials. Shit They Don't Tell You. Not STD. Thank you.
Is this our 10-year anniversary special? Like you sound like a jaded smoker.
Listen, I'm sad.
Nikki's just like STDTY, honey. That's our initials, babe. Okay, honey. What do you want to order? Like I feel like I'm in a fucking 1950s diner.
I'm 2 days late on my period,
okay.
Everyone, and I don't know. It might be a baby.
I don't know. We hope.
But by the time you hear this, I'll know. So
what do you want to order, honey?
Guys, shit they don't tell you. Q&A, not a relationship question, is the title of this one. So that's why I'm picking it, because I want to see what non-relationship question you have, because I don't... Can we even answer those?
Has it ever happened?
Hi, Nikki and Steve. Love the podcast. Love the vlogs. Love Tasty Tuesday. I really appreciate all the fun content you give us, and I look forward to all the episodes when they release. Oh my God, we love you.
Thank you.
My question is about career/work. Please keep me anonymous. You got it. I am 24 years old, just got married, and really absolutely hate my job. I've been dealing with depression and anxiety pretty much all my life. In college, it got extremely bad, and I switched majors and career path pretty drastically, thinking my depression episode was rooted in my then life path. I don't regret changing majors. The old one really wasn't meant for me, but the new career path just isn't right for me either, and now I feel extremely stuck. I graduated and got a good job, but I hate the industry and I dread work every day, even after being there for 2 years. Most of the time, I power through and do a good job, but I'm paralyzed with depression half the time, and especially while working from home due to the quarantine. Problem is, I don't know what to do instead. I tried learning coding, I tried web design, and I tried consulting, but I decided not to move forward with any of them. I've taken a lot of personality tests to figure out what my strengths are and where I would be suited, but I still can't find my passion. If curious, I am an ISFJ personality and an Enneagram 1. Good to know. What can I do to power through?
I don't know what that means, though, off the top of my head. I got to have the chart in front of me.
Introverted.
Yeah, see? Okay, moving on.
Okay. What can I do to power through my day-to-day job while trying to figure out a new path? What are some strategies or exercises or voodoo magic to figure out what I want to do with my career? I feel very conflicted about this because I recently got married and my husband has a stressful technical job and I don't want to burden him with my crybabiness when my job, in all honesty, is way easier than his and we have bills to pay. Please help. Thanks for reading. All right, anonymous.
This is something we get asked a lot. My answer to this is usually don't do anything drastic. Don't like just quit your job because you're sad or whatever about doing your job.
Yeah.
But do some, like, be smart about it and put your energy as far as what you want to do into whatever your hobby is, if you have one.
Yeah, that's where I would start is I feel like if she had a hobby, though, or he or she had a hobby, that it would be more obvious, or maybe they would mention that.
They would mention it, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe they're hobbyless, which happens,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that happens, too. And also, I want to let you know you're not alone. Like,
hell no.
So many people I know went through college, had it firmly in their head they were going to be XYZ, then they got a job doing XYZ, and they freaking hated it.
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
I know somebody who's like, I literally don't want to do anything. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, there's something you want to do. And they're like, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, depression does that, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, when I was super depressed, I was looking into, like, you know those, have you ever heard of, like, sleep focus groups where they, like, study your sleep cycle?
Holy shit.
And basically, like, you just get paid to, like, sleep all day. I looked into that.
Were there lines down the block?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to get into, but yeah. Like, and also
people are like, can't believe this shit's real.
Yeah, you have to like spend the night there and stuff and like have like electrodes attached to you and all kinds
whatever.
Of stuff.
I've done that.
But I was like, I could do that.
You know, I had a CAT scan once.
You did?
I did.
For what?
I had this
to see if you were
muscle
able to learn things because you were so bad at math.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just guessing.
A good guess.
Thank you.
No, it was when I was a teenager. I had this muscle spasm in my neck.
Oh.
And it was, I think, from something anxiety-based, like, rooted now.
Yeah.
But back then, I would constantly, like tense the muscles in my neck.
And I feel like I have that.
It got to the point where I was doing it without even knowing I was doing it. So I would do it, like, every, like, minute I would do it.
You're making my neck hurt.
Sorry. Yeah, now every time I see somebody do that, I have to crack my neck too.
Yeah.
I crack my neck so much, by the way. Too much.
Same.
But okay, so yeah, I don't even know what we were talking about, but I had a CAT scan. So I was laying there and they had to make me fall asleep so they could see if I was doing that even in my sleep, and I wasn't.
Oh.
So that's when we figured that it wasn't part of something that I was unconsciously doing.
Did you get psychologically treated for it then?
No. They basically just told me that, like,
they're just like, stop doing that.
They're like, that's you. It's you doing it.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And then somehow I was able to acknowledge that it was me. And every time I was about to do it, I was like, why am I about to do this?
Oh,
yeah.
So it was a habit. It was like
really
biting your nails,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, back to this person's question.
Well, I'd like to talk about my CAT scan a little more if you don't mind.
I don't
it was
even
very
know how,
cold
I don't
in that
know
room.
How you got there.
It was very cold. Well, you said electrodes strapped to your head, which happened
that,
to me.
There it is.
That happened to me.
All right. Well, anyway, I was going to say, if you don't have an obvious hobby, then something that you can do is just throughout your day, every time you're doing something and it makes you happy, or like when you have a moment of like, oh, I feel very calm and at peace doing this particular activity, either do like go more into that activity or figure out what it is about that activity that gives you common peace, and that can kind of lead you towards something you might be passionate about.
Or what do you do for fun? Is there anything that you do for fun right now that gives you some kind of peace from the work tension that you feel?
Yeah.
Whatever that is, even if it's fucking skateboarding.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened to my friend. Oh, I've told this story before. But she went through a whole nursing school to be, or a whole, she went through college to be an RT?
RN.
No, it's on RT.
RN.
No, it's not an RN.
I just want to be right.
She did the x-ray stuff. She was doing x-ray, radio technology and technology.
Radiological technician.
Whatever. So yeah, she did that, and then she got work in a hospital, and she hated it. And while she was like studying and getting all stressed out, she was got really into like painting her nails. She got really, really good at painting her nails, and now she's a head manicurist at a salon.
See,
like she full on, yeah, she's really good, and she full on like dropped out and went to cosmetology school. She's like, fuck this, I don't want to be x-raying people, it sucks.
So what is the thing that you do for fun, if there is anything? If there isn't, try some shit.
Oh, if there isn't, a good question to ask is, if money wasn't an issue, like if you had all the money in the world, like you were just a limited amounts of money, what would you be doing? Like, what would your day-to-day look like? What, you wake up out of bed, you have all the money, where do you do? Where, like, where do you go?
What do you do, Nikki?
What do I do?
Where do you go?
Dude, I asked myself this question, and I love what I'm doing.
Right?
Yeah, genuinely, I'm like, I would probably do a few more companies. Like, I would, I really like my jewelry line, and I want to expand on that, and I think I'd really, like, go more into how to expand on that.
So but, sick to say you have a jewelry line out loud. Yeah. Like that. Just throw it away like that.
I know, but
I enjoy my jewelry line. Because I would just love to expand.
For those of
it.
You who don't know, I had a jewelry line called Kittens and Coffee, and the company I was working with sold their business last year. So I haven't been able to make jewelry since then, and people keep asking about it, and I get really sad because I really love that line, and I was really excited about it. But anyway, so besides that, and like a few other, I kind of want to do house flipping, like things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I would always have this podcast or vlog and or vlogging. Mm-hmm. Like I still love sharing stuff with people, like things that help me. I want people to know about it. Like I want people to know.
I would have a warehouse filled with crypto miners.
Oh,
but bodies of people who are working there.
Okay,
as well.
Great, that's cool.
That's sick.
But then, what do you do? Because the crypto miners are mining. So what do you do?
I fucking chill in there, dude.
You just chill.
Fucking chill in there.
What are you watching?
No, that's part of because I want to be part of the revolution.
I have too many interests.
The financial revolution.
I also just want a kitty farm.
I'm afraid of your kitty farm idea because we kind of have a kitty plantation right now. And it's
imagine this.
Sick.
We have acres of land. We build an island with like a moat, you know, like a moat. Like it has like a water feature. It's a lazy river. It's not even a moat. It's a lazy river. And you go to the island and there's kittens everywhere. Just kittens live there.
Sounds cruel.
No, but like they grow into full cats.
No, but they're on this island. They can't go anywhere.
Like, no, but it's huge. It's huge. It's big.
Okay.
It's a big island.
Better be
there's tree houses. There's all kinds of kitty trees. They'd love it.
They're outside all day.
Listen, I get to play in my mind when I'm like, ooh, no, money's everywhere. Okay, this is the perfect world. This is how I would design it. Anyway, so that's fun. Like, have fun. I know it's, like, not fun when you're, like, struggling with, like, oh, no, we have bills to pay and stuff. Just don't think about that. Don't think about your real life. Think about, like, what if? And it's fun. And go in your brain and just, like, think of the things that while you're thinking of them that give you that spark where you're like, oh, that's so exciting. And then just, like, go from there. And then figure out what people do to do those things.
I think for me, my new goal is to destroy the Gatorade company for what they did to my hand.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate.
That's my new goal.
Maybe if you got a CAT scan, the doctor would be like, yeah, that's your fault. And I agree.
Actually, they told me that I had genius level abilities with my brain.
Moving on. Next question. This is, how can I face conflict without getting scared? Oh, I like this title. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nikki and Steve, my name is Jocelyn. I'm 17 and I love you guys. We love you. You and the JK crew are my idols. Aw.
We love you.
I'm so happy to be able to have you as role models and have your guidance for all these years. wow, when did you start? You're only 17 right now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We love you. Anyway, lately I've been trying to do some self-improvement. Along the way, I've realized that I need to toughen up more. I've been a doormat in multiple occasions, and I hate letting people treat me in such a way. Usually whenever people have a dirty attitude, I don't say anything. When I do stand up for myself, I get really riled up inside. I don't want to do too much, though, to the point where I look super defensive about every little thing. How can I be more comfortable with conflict? When do I fight back or let things slide?
When you are in that moment of uncomfort, you're uncomfortable because you are fighting for yourself, right? So it's about embracing the reason why. It's less about the feeling goes away. The feeling doesn't necessarily go away. It's just that you know why you're doing this, because you're standing up for yourself.
How do you, because this is probably the hardest thing that I've had to learn when you're in a heightened state of emotion. Mm-hmm. How do you not come off as defensive? Like, how do you remain a little bit more neutral?
That's hard, right? That's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Because if you're personally invested in it,
yeah,
then yeah, you might come off as defensive. The best techniques that I've seen for that is just to stick to your argument,
yeah,
without raising your voice,
and also not to attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Or make sure you're not using attacking language,
right?
Like, you did this and now I feel this. Like,
yes.
More just sticking to,
this is why I feel this way.
I'm a little hurt because this happened and I just wanted to clear it up. You know,
there's also ways that you can kind of massage the situation.
Ooh.
So that you're not just, you see me do this many times, but I'm not just confronting someone full on. I'm coming at it from more of a neutral position while I'm still trying to get what I want out of it, which is for them to understand where I'm coming from. But if you can massage it a little bit where it's like, hey, so I don't know if you intended on this happening, but for some reason when this happens, I feel like this.
Oh, that's great.
You know what I'm saying? And so that way you're coming at it from a neutral position. So you're not like just on the attack from minute one.
Damn. I just thought about how much I love massages. And I wonder if you could be a massage connoisseur, like if you could be a massage critic.
A massage critic or tester.
Yeah.
A massage tester. It's really good.
I mean, I'm down. Sign me up.
Put it out there.
Put it out in the universe. Yeah. Yeah. That's really great.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
It's called, there's also this term called, I think, fluffing. Ooh, maybe that's not the term.
I don't think that's the term.
But it's where you put like a compliment or like something nice, and then the thing that's kind of harder to say, and then something nice at the end.
Yeah.
You like sandwich it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, hey, like, I really like when you do this, but sometimes it comes across as this. I don't want to cause an argument, but I just want to let you know that I feel this way about it, and yeah. But I love what you're doing, or whatever. I don't know. That was a terrible example.
I don't think you have to compliment so much.
That was a terrible example.
It's a horrible example.
No, I hated that example.
The idea is just like, hey, I don't know if you're intending on this happening, but this is how I feel when this happens.
Yeah.
And I've had to do this with many people, ex-girlfriends, parents. Like,
use I statements. A lot of people don't know what I statements are.
Yeah, I feel, I think.
Yeah, that was drilled into us in middle school of how to like resolve conflict, is like using I statements, being like, I feel this way when this happens, not you did this.
Yeah. And then she's talking initially about not being so sensitive, which I think is a fucking great thing to try to lean that way.
It's
at all
so
times.
Hard.
But it's a good thing for you. Like, if you're going to have a good backbone and you're going to fight for the things that you believe in, it's so, so good to lean in that direction.
Okay, I have I am this girl.
Okay.
Sometimes I want to stick up for myself, but then the person that's like bullying or like, you know, they're way more aggressive at me, I don't want them to continue to attack me. So I sometimes feel like the best thing to do is just walk away, but then I get mad that I couldn't stand up for myself.
Is this a person that you want to have a continued relationship with?
No.
Then you don't need to resolve anything. Just let it go. Like, fuck them and move on. If this is somebody you want to have a continued relationship with, then yeah, you need to stick up for yourself.
Okay.
And be like, hey, when you do this, this is how I feel. And I don't want to feel that way when I see you.
Well, yeah.
And let's fix this.
There's layers too.
Of course.
Like, sometimes I've had a situation where in the past, like this person at my school was like telling everyone I did a certain thing that I didn't do, but then I didn't want to be like, I didn't do it to everybody, because then it looks like I did do it, or like then it just draws more attention and that person gets all the power.
But there are people who, I mean, they'll see somebody who's accused of murder and they're standing at a podium, and the way that they're just standing there, they're like, oh, he did it. Like, you never know with people.
Yeah,
you can't try to figure out how people are going to see you.
That's so frustrating when like someone is doing something and it's malicious.
Everyone's a fucking expert. Everyone just looks at things and go, oh, so the way he just looked up into the right is like, it's a tell, and all this shit people do.
Yeah.
And all these body language experts, all this stuff that people get into that can, you can turn an innocent person guilty with no evidence.
Yeah.
It's really just about, you know, knowing yourself, sticking up for the things that you believe in, and not backing down.
Yeah, being assertive is something to strive for.
And if I have a problem with anybody, Nikki knows this, I will bring it up to them the first second that I see them, even.
Yeah, me too. I always try to nip things in the bud because I don't want anything to build up.
Ever.
Over time. So nipping it in the bud, and then also, yeah, I guess the way that I've been able to sort of separate myself from the emotion of it is just, one, I do not approach anyone if I'm still in a heightened state of emotion. Mm-hmm. I wait for those emotions to like calm down a little bit. I focus on the issue at hand. And if they start getting emotional at me, then I go, hey, or I'm just talking about this issue. I'm not talking, like, it's not personal. It's just this issue.
Why are you the only person who should feel awkward? That's my thing, right? It's not respectful. Like, when you're the only person in the room who has to, like, you know, dance around this person or whatever the fuck. Like it's not okay. Like, you deserve the same respect that they do.
Yeah, exactly. You would want someone to, if they had a problem with you, you'd want someone to bring it up nicely and give you benefit of the doubt and just tell you what the issue is. Yeah.
But when they walk in the room, they get to have a great time. Why can't you?
Do unto others as you would do unto yourself.
There you go.
Or have others do unto you. I don't know. I fucked it up. Anyway, next question. How about help? I don't want to end up homeless. Ooh. Okay, hello, Icebreaker, Steve, and all the listeners out there.
Unbelievable. The unprofessionalism.
First, I want to say thank you to Nikki, Steve, and everyone who has submitted their questions for allowing me to learn a lot through this podcast. Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for everyone that submits questions. I'm 23 and probably should relax and not worry about this, but I've stressed about this since I was 19. I really want to learn how to buy a home and not get ripped off. Also, I'm currently furloughed because of COVID, so I'm already fucked. I mean, we kind of all are. I'm the oldest of four girls, and I love my parents so much, and I know I want to buy a home for all of us to repay them for all their hard work. My soon-to-be fiance, I'm proposing on 10-2. Ooh,
whoa.
October 2nd.
All right.
Ooh, does this come out after? Oh, yeah. Wait, it's already after that.
Congrats. She
proposed already. I hope it went well.
Hope he said yes.
Or she. My soon-to-be fiance agreed to help me buy said home since we want to start our lives together. Renting seems like I'm just throwing away my money and we want our own home so I could start adopting more doggies and kitties. Yeah, it's my type of person.
It's going to smell weird, though.
Where do I start with this home buying situation? Sorry if this was confusing. Thank you so much. I've rated 5 stars, by the way. We love you.
Thank you so much. Where do you start? Wow. Well, you got to get your nest egg going.
So get your nest egg going. Figure out, like, if you go on sites like Redfin, Zillow, Realtor.com, you can browse homes in your area or whatever area you're looking to buy a home in, or, you know, prospective neighborhoods that you're looking to buy in, and you could check out the crime rate, all kinds of stuff like that. Get an idea of the type of place that you want to live in, see what the price range is for that, and then build a nest egg of 20% of that. So if the houses you're looking at are $300,000, you're going to want $60,000 to like set aside. Then once you got a good nest egg going, maybe you're around like $50,000 or whatever. And by the way, you could put down less than 20% on a home. You just have your best bet of getting the home if you have 20% to put down.
Well, she's furloughed though, too.
Right.
So we're talking about nest egg when you get your
regular, yeah, when you get your, but the fiance says that she's, that the fiance is going to help buy the home too.
Oh, word, okay.
Yeah, cool. So she's got two incomes.
Right on.
Or, well, her income once she's off of furlough.
Right.
But yeah, like, it's never too late to start putting together that. So then once you got a good nest egg going, go get pre-approved for a loan. Getting pre-approved helps you so that it helps you so that when you're going to open houses, if you find your dream house that you're like, this is the right price in the right area and I can we could afford this, you could put an offer in if you're pre-approved. If you're not pre-approved, it's a little bit more of a tricky process.
And they treat you and like treat a lesser human being.
They do. They really do. We didn't
like, oh, are you pre-approved? And you're like, no. And they're basically just like, they reopen their magazine and they just kick back. Like you're not even a person.
That's true.
Yeah, being pre-approved, they're like, oh, well, you know, and they can't take out enough of their cards and start handing them to you.
It's true.
They're handing you fucking,
are you working with someone? Do you like, have
yeah,
a realtor?
You got a wedding chaperone? Yeah. You got a band? You're like, wow.
Yeah. We did an episode on Should They Don't Tell You About Buying a Home, but that was 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It was 2 years ago already?
Yeah. That's when we bought it.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Well, anyway, I don't even think it's on my channel because that was back in the day. I don't even know if it's on anyone's channel.
Oh.
I think it's on just an audio.
We'll have to revisit that topic, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe we'll revisit it because we are maybe moving somewhere else.
Maybe.
So TBD. But
maybe COVID taught daddy and mommy a couple things.
I think you're smart for already having that in mind that you want to buy instead of rent. It's also mortgage rates are really low right now.
Yes.
So it's a good time to buy because they're going to stay low for the next
or to
2 refi
years. If you already have a place out there.
She's
no, I'm talking to the people at home.
To the other people. Yeah, it's a good time to refi if you had a different rate a couple years ago because they have come down a lot. And then, but then like also if you're like, oh no, I don't have it yet, then the market might crash in a couple years. So maybe you could just wait for that.
It could happen. It could happen. We don't know. We have no inside information.
We don't know. I wish I knew.
Right,
because that would be sick to know. It'd be pretty cool.
What's your first move then? How do you take advantage of that?
Well, if I know, okay, let's say I know that a crash is coming in 6 months, then I'm selling my house right now. I'm about to like sell my house right now.
There it is.
Get my house at the top. Get all the money, cash, dollar bills, y'all. Then the market crashes, and then I swoop and get a really good deal on a different house.
Yep. Or we buy the same one for even cheaper.
Oh,
get the sickest mortgage ever.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the beginning steps. There's more after that. But if you work with a realtor, they can absolutely guide you through the process. Our realtor was amazing at guiding us through everything. I had no idea how to buy a house. Like, that's some shit they really don't tell you unless you had parents that told you. But we never had that conversation.
How did we know that our realtor was a sick guy? Because he was really sick.
Well, we were going to open houses
and
just checking out the scene. Like, I wasn't even pre-approved. I just, like, really was obsessed with wanting to get a new place. And
we were going, like, every weekend.
We were going every weekend to open houses.
Like, multiple times a week.
Even not being pre-approved. But he was like, you need to get pre-approved if, like, you're going to be looking at houses and you're going to, like, actually make a serious offer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I got a good feeling from him because he knew the area really, really well. Like, I had been researching for a good year at that point, and I was telling him exactly what I was looking for, like what things I was not willing to settle on, what my price range was, all this stuff. And it was a tall order, but he was like, we can make that happen. Whereas everyone else I talked to was like, that's impossible. You'll never find that.
And she had already found those properties on Redfin.
So
you could tell who did more research compared to the other people.
And yeah, I know there are rare gems here and there. Like, it's not like every house is going to be that, like, for the price range I was looking for and how much I wanted.
This cat knew his shit, though.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, have you looked in this area, this area, this area? I was like, hell yeah, I have.
Yeah.
I'm down for this one, but not this one, and here's why. And like, you know, I had a lot in my back pocket.
There are no people sometimes who can't wait to tell you why something cannot happen. And there are yes people who cannot wait to try to make something work for you. And that's what you should always go for.
Those are the people you want to work with.
In life, in friendships,
in
business relationships.
Problem solvers.
Yes. Not no people.
Not
here's why that doesn't
people.
Work. Here's why that'll never happen. Fuck those people.
I wish them well.
All the best.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we will answer more of your questions. I don't know why I couldn't say the word will. Like, wheel.
You said wheel.
Wheel.
Like wheel.
Let's get over it.
The icebreaker is officially broken.
That's what I do. Break that ice.
Shut the fuck up. We're going to break.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, That would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout-outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout-out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout-out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
Florida. Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Huge. Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, we're back, and this topic title is pretty juicy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
He lied about having kids.
Holy shit.
What? Okay. Hey, Nikki and Steve. I love the podcast and everything about you two. Oh, my God.
We love you.
I would like to stay anonymous. Okay. Here's my story. I was recently dating a guy I met online long distance, but we would talk on the phone and FaceTime often to stay connected. I was really starting to fall in love with this guy. He was nice, generous, and also seemed to be really good with kids since he'd often hang out with his niece, and he seemed to have a great connection with her. A bit after we started officially dating, this was 6 months in after matching online, I started doing some deep Facebook stalking of the guy. I know, creepy. And found out that the girl he claimed was his niece was actually his daughter. I got really annoyed and confronted him. It wasn't really the fact that he has a kid that made me annoyed, but because that's a really important thing, and I don't think he should lie about it, especially for 6 months. At first, he was avoiding the question when I asked him, but eventually he admitted to it. What do you think? Would you forgive someone if they didn't tell you they had a child until you found out for yourself 6 months in? I understand dating with a child is harder, but I also think it's something that you should be honest about with someone if you're looking to start a life and family with them. Side note, I did break up with this guy soon after because of the situation. Plus, I found out he was not being loyal. But I'm more curious to see where you stand on this topic alone.
First of all, we would like you to send us your information so that we could hire you as a private investigator.
Yes.
Second of all, that is incredible. I'm so proud of you. And yes, he sucks for not telling
you. Yeah, lying is lying. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's not a little white lie. That's a doozy, bro.
Exactly.
That's a fucking...
It's not like, oh,
that's a 4'11" tall lie.
There was traffic, but really I didn't leave my house yet. I think that's an acceptable lie that I feel like Steve has done to me.
Oh, I have multiple times. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm like, okay, that's like my limit on lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a really... big problem with dishonesty. Not that it's like, yeah, it's not hard to take a hard stance on that. I have a problem with
dishonesty.
I have
a real issue with lying.
Yeah, I don't like liars. No, but I just think if the relationship starts off on a big lie, like I don't know that, and then he can do it so easily. I don't know how this person operates in a truthful sense. You know, I can't get a gauge on like how truthful this person is if they're willing to just to my face be like, oh, this is my niece. Like, that's a big, that's pretty big, I think.
Dude, especially in a world where people have like secret families and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fucking around with that.
Exactly. I had some secret family members.
You sure do.
I did. I had a secret family. I can't talk about it.
It's pretty juicy though.
It's pretty juicy.
Maybe she'll figure it out in like 2 days.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll put our girl on the case, too.
This private eye over here.
She'll handle it.
Dang,
she's good.
Yeah. I mean, good for you for figuring that out. I hate
She didn't just figure that out, though. She also found out that he was not being faithful with her.
Oh, right.
She's fucking good.
You can't lie to women, man. I mean, you can't lie to anyone. Don't lie to anyone. But there's a woman's intuition
thing. Good,
I swear, like, my ex, I just had a dream that he was talking to girls on OkCupid, and I woke up and I found his OkCupid profile. And you can't even look people up by their names. You have to like look up by like location. I just put in location and height.
That's hilarious.
And he was on the first page of like 1,000 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty wild. But also, he had sworn up and down previously that he canceled that account. So that's, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird how intuition works like that. Wow. It's like the back of my mind, I knew something was afoot.
No hate to small guys, by the way. He was a small guy, literally and figuratively.
Inside and out.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I guess we both stand on the same side of, that's too big of a lie, huh?
It's too big of a lie.
And too long.
And unless there's a really good reason why, like she's in fucking witness protection or some shit.
Unless he felt like he wasn't going to start a family with you. He wasn't going to have a serious relationship with you. Like if it was just like, oh, casual fling or something. But 6 months in,
you have to tell people you have kids. I'm sorry. You have to tell them you have
kids.
Well,
like, let's say I just wanted to hook up with somebody. I don't need them to know my whole life.
Sure.
I don't need them to know where my kid lives. What if they're a creep?
No question.
Yeah, but like, but if we're dating for 6 months,
if we're at dinner and we're talking and like, I know more about your mom and your fucking family and you guys had a dog growing up than I do that you have a kid right now, you suck.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Okay. Well, so we differ on that.
Don't have secret kids. That's my big rule.
Don't have secret kids.
My biggest rule.
Can everyone just stop having secret kids?
I'm tired of it.
Anyway, moving on. Good question. Hope that helped you.
We will be saving your email. Thank you.
Okay, this one is exorcism versus mental health. I have a feeling it's about our exorcism episode.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Hi, guys. Love you both so much. Just listened to your exorcism podcast and wanted to give you a little info I have from my own experience. I'm Catholic, and my mom is bipolar manic depressive with signs of schizophrenia and multiple personalities disorder.
Whoa.
She's never had any exorcisms. However, when she is full-blown manic, she fits all the criteria and would, in fact, qualify for one. That being said, she once had a doctor that wanted to debunk the possibility of possession in her. He did an MRI on her brain when she was lucid and then another one when she was manic. A typical person only uses a very small percentage of their brain at one time, but when my mom is manic, the MRI showed that she was actively accessing. Why can't I say this word?
It's fine.
She was actively accessing over 90% of her brain.
Wow.
That's crazy. So when she was manic.
Some Matilda shit.
When she was not manic, she was accessing a normal amount of brain. And then when she was manic, she was accessing over 90% of her brain. That's crazy. Okay. That being said, every person takes in everything they've ever heard but can only channel so much info at one time. But when my mom is manic, she has access to everything she has ever heard in her life, even if she doesn't have any lucid memory of it. She can speak languages she's never learned just because she had heard someone else speak them. And the doctor mentioned that she gets insane strength because her pain receptors basically turn off when she's manic. I've seen her take on like 8 grown men before and have no problem. The doctor basically explained it as her fight or flight kicking in for extended amounts of time. Also, she will tell me she is a demon and will send me to hell with lots of other super scary stuff. But after going to a psych ward for a couple weeks, she always comes back my mom again. She was a great human when she's not going through that stuff, but it had a huge impact on her keeping a job and stuff, obviously. It's really sad. I can go on and on with stories of her, but I thought it might be a little helpful to you. Sorry, it's kind of all over the place. Hopefully you get something from this. Love, Hannah.
Wow,
dude, Hannah, that's such great insight.
Crazy Hannah has a demon mom.
Jesus. No, that's just so, that's so interesting. I never heard anyone get an MRI while they are having an episode and using 90% of their brain, or that was even possible to just channel all that information you've ever learned in your whole life. That's crazy. I mean, it's cool. That's like a superpower, but like you're not able to use it or harness it.
Yeah, it's just sort of like you're all over the place.
Damn, what a waste of superpower.
Dude, what a waste of taking on 5 guys at once.
What I want to know, though, is how come... Okay, because like you have access to everything you've ever heard of, right? But then how come she goes demon route, you know?
Well, maybe because of like she's saying how she's latently heard like languages in her life. But yeah. She's like a Catholic, so she's gotten all this stuff like... She's been swimming in the Catholic pond for
a long
time.
Yeah, but why does it never go Virgin Mary route? Or like...
How do you mean?
Like how come
she
never turns
nice?
Into like, yeah, an angel, like the higher energies.
I think that we all have, through when you think about human history,
yeah.
There's so much violence.
There's so much pain.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So I think it's more that. I mean, we really haven't had nice civilization until like the past 100 years even.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, think about it, bro. Just violence and territory seizing and rape and everything. Like, just that. That
Maybe
was the world.
You have a fucked up king that met a red woman who told you to burn your daughter at the stake.
And you listened.
And you listened because you thought you would win a war, and then you didn't win the war.
And you didn't even win a Golden Globe. So you did all that for
Good.
Really nothing. For genuinely
Good.
Nothing.
Genuinely nothing.
On and off the stage.
I'm glad that you didn't win the war. Or the Oscar.
And I can't believe, I'm so glad the writers lost Star Wars. I'm so glad.
Me
because,
too.
Because they shouldn't have hurt that girl.
A curse on their houses.
Yep, same.
Anyway. Yeah, that's
Thank
that's,
you for that.
That's
that
great
insight,
insight.
Hannah.
Yeah,
that's
we
really,
love that.
That's incredible stuff.
Yeah. All right. How about this one. Oh, Batman episode / questions.
Yes, let's go.
This is wetting Steve's whistle. Just wanted to say that I lived vicariously through Steve in the Batman episode as kind of a closet nerd who keeps my knowledge under wraps until someone prompts me to let loose. Hearing Steve gush about Batman was awesome. Took me back to the days on the playground where we would debate on similar superhero shenanigans. And Nikki did a great job of letting Steve go off the rails, LOL, but still listening attentively and with genuine ears. Questions. One for Steve. Is there a villain in Batman's rogues gallery who you would love to see adapted on film in live action? Also, wanted to ask if you have seen Batman Mask of the Phantasm, a 90-minute movie.
Best Batman movie ever, bro.
Based on the animated series.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Good for movie night. I think Nikki would enjoy it too, since it doesn't really rely much on the vast lore of Batman mythos.
Very true.
Plus, there's some crime and romance aspects. How come you've never shared that with me, you jerk?
You just watched my favorite movie during COVID.
Yeah, I know.
And it was like 8 months in.
So doesn't that show that I want to share things with you?
I don't like to make Nikki watch things.
It's not making it.
She's not a fun person to make watch something.
You've never even suggested. It wasn't like you suggested and right. I was like, no.
That's true. But I don't exactly. Look, those are for when I'm on the pewter. Those aren't for like when I'm in the living room. Have you noticed?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I don't watch like...
I know, you separate
my
your,
Batmans and
you
all
got
that.
A secret life.
Yeah, I got my secret life on
you
the
got
theater.
Got probably your secret kids on there.
I got my secret kids. I got my secret family. No, but that's... I don't know. It's not really about like shielding it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Although I do feel kind of dumb as a grown man watching a cartoon.
Aw.
So, yeah. There it is.
Eminem had a cartoon and I watched it. It was very short-lived.
I didn't ask. I'm kidding.
We watched 8 Mile together. That's a Nikki thing.
It is.
Okay, well, you know, be cool if I was invited to your, you know, your club.
You're very invited. No, now that I know, if you're genuinely interested, I will show you.
I don't want to watch this movie.
I will show you Mask of the Phantasm.
All right, so is there any villain in Batman's Rogues Gallery who you would love to see adapted in live film?
There's two. One they did a good job with already. It's called, first of all, Mr. Freeze. I think Mr. Freeze.
Arnold?
No, see, he's gotten such shit, like on screen.
Okay.
He's gotten the worst fucking rap. But Mr. Freeze is a super cool character.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny?
Super cool.
I hate it. Well, I didn't mean it.
You
okay.
said that.
Okay, he's an awesome character.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super interesting thing, like where his entire driving focus is not to destroy the city and kill Batman, all this shit. He's just trying to save his wife. But... because his wife is
married?
Yeah, he's a married man.
Mr. Freeze has got
happily.
Wives and kids.
Yeah, he's got his wife Nora.
Do they have kids?
They don't have kids.
Oh.
That I've seen.
Not that she knows of.
In adaptations I've seen, no. But he's
little Freeze babies?
He's a doctor and he's ironically named Mr. Freeze, and then of course he goes through an accident and he has to stay cold.
Oh.
And but part of it is he's searching for a cure. Part of his research was that he's searching for a cure for his wife's ailment, and he's been keeping her cold. So then he has to steal money and resources.
Does he freeze
stuff.
Her eggs?
I assume they're frozen with her.
I'd considered it.
And?
Well, it's too invasive.
Yeah, it's pretty invasive. They have to scrape them out.
Yeah, they have to harvest.
They lost
them.
Me at the word scrape. So yeah, that character I think is super dope. Because of that. And yes, he does tend to try to destroy the city and destroy Gotham because every character in Batman does.
Yeah.
But I don't think you got to go there. I think that.
Yeah, why does he want to destroy Gotham?
Well.
Just because he got in a car accident?
No, he didn't get in a car accident.
Oh, wait,
he
what happened?
A science experiment.
Oh, a science
accident.
Oh, just because he got in a science accident?
Yeah, a science accident. As happens to all comic book character villains.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's usually it's like Spider-Man 2 where Dr. Octopus is trying to get resources so that he can work on his experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact idea with Mr. Freeze. He's trying to steal money, like rob banks or whatever, so that he can fund his research into saving
his
life.
Why can't he just apply for a grant?
Have you tried to apply for grants?
No, because I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist.
His wife has a rare disease, and so nobody wants to fucking fund it, all that kind of
shit. I mean, those are the things that get funded.
Not necessarily. What if it's so rare that literally nobody wants to fund it because there's no money made from the pharmaceutical for it?
Why can't he do a GoFundMe or a change.org?
He should. Well, now they could do a change.org thing. So Mr. Freeze doesn't have to do as much.
So yeah, let's just not burn down the city. Come on.
Okay, second character real quick. His name is Victor Zsasz, and he is a serial killer. and he kills somebody. He scars
Victor Zsasz.
Victor Zsasz, and when he kills somebody, he puts a tally on his body. So everybody he's ever killed, he's got tallies all over his body.
Ugh.
And my dream Batman adaptation would be to see a Batman hunting a serial killer, and it would be Zsasz.
I don't like that one. It's too real.
But that's kind of cool, though.
No, like, I want him to have a superpower. Otherwise, it's too real. Like, I feel like serial killers would do that.
But Batman is the world's greatest detective. He can't just be going after all the outlandish, ostentatious villains. He's got to be going after all of the villains.
There's so many killers in New York City, in Gotham City.
I know. That's so, what I'm saying. This would be one of them.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, okay, if he goes after one regular, then he's got to go after all the regular killers. But usually he goes after the ones with cool costumes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He goes after the sexy
Victor
ones.
Victor Zsasz, not that sexy.
It's not that sexy, no.
Yeah, that's probably why he hasn't gotten a movie.
Guaranteed.
But you want to see it?
I would, dude, that's my dream one to write on. Or
just killing
or
people, putting tally marks on his bodies?
No, it's not just that, though. It's how Batman finds
it. Is it like Dexter, where he has like a purpose in what victims he's killing?
No, Zsasz is not that complicated. Like, oh. Zsasz is a super evil person.
He's just killing randoms?
Well, he kills people. There's all kinds of different versions of him. But
I don't like him.
He's a murderer.
Aw.
But the idea would be Batman trying to hunt him down, and like, and he's good at getting away and killing people without him knowing.
What the hell are the detectives doing?
They're not looking for guys with scars all over their body, I'll tell you that.
I guess not.
Yeah.
All right, I got a question in here, okay, too. It says, for Nikki, since it was well established that Nikki would most prefer to bone Batman out of all the mainstream superheroes because of his fucked up psyche, I was wondering what supervillain Nikki would want to bone the issues out of. Supervillain in Batman?
No, it's a supervillain in general.
In general? I mean, Lex Luthor's kind of... Isn't he rich?
Which version? The Jesse Eisenberg version?
No. No, okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah, relax over
I
there.
Was thinking of...
How about
the
Kevin
one
Spacey
with...
version? Want that one?
No.
Yeah, which version?
I was thinking the Dean Cain version.
Oh, yeah, he was hot.
Dean Cain was Superman, but like the guy playing Lex Luthor...
Oh, yeah,
Luthor
he was hot.
Jonathan
something.
I don't... Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah. So... I guess, okay, well, now I gotta think of all the superheroes that I've ever been sexually attracted to. Oh, the villains. Oh, you know what? Dude, Jim Carrey's the Riddler. I was obsessed with him. He's pretty funny.
There you go. You'd bone Jim Carrey's the Riddler?
Yeah, but no other Riddler, because that's just annoying.
Great. Glad we got that answer.
Not Penguin. That's
which version?
Danny, I said not Penguin.
Well,
not-
you know there's a Colin Farrell version now.
Okay.
Coming out.
You're changing my mind.
See, I'm trying.
Okay. Maybe Penguin. You know, I did hot yoga with him several times.
Colin Farrell?
Yeah. He does yoga in his underwear. A lot of women were all over him during the class.
They weren't disturbed. They're just like, cool.
He had a cluster around him.
That's funny.
So funny.
And probably all, they all had makeup on, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they knew that he was going to be there.
Go figure.
And it was like a 2 p.m. class because it was the only time during the day. I like going to that class because it's not as crowded because people used to have to work at their jobs during that time. But then Colin Farrell started showing up and then all of a sudden that class got real popular.
Yeah. And then people show up with makeup on. And that's, by the way, some of the most L.A. shit ever.
Yeah, really was. Okay. Oh, and then it says, thanks for keeping the podcast running. Love any and all episodes, regardless of what the topic is. You guys rule.
We love you.
Thank you.
I will be doing a James Bond episode soon. I heard people wanted that, so because we talked about how I like Bond in there.
Yeah, you do like James Bond.
I do.
Okay, this next one's called Feeling Outgrown, Sad Face. Hi, Nikki and Steve. First of all, I've always thought Steve sounds like Eric Warheim? As Arnold in Master of None.
Oh no, we haven't seen the show.
Master of None. Oh, is that the Aziz Ansari show?
Yeah,
I've seen some of the shows.
Eric Wareheim.
Yeah,
which one? That is? I don't know.
No, dang.
But I've heard the name.
Yeah, we gotta watch it.
He doesn't know who I am either, by the way.
Anyway, So
fuck him.
Take that. One of my favorite shows on the planet Earth. Do you get that a lot? He's a really cool dude. So are you.
I get Philip Rivers a lot, actually.
But not sounds like. This
no,
is
yeah,
you sound like this
interesting,
guy.
Interesting.
I love your show and think you cover so many interesting, relatable points. I actually love the Q&A episodes the best. Oh my God, we love you. My question, concern, has to do with friendships. I'm 19, but please don't use my name. You could call me something cool and have a ten. Oh yeah. What should we call them?
Rogue.
Okay. Hey, Rogue.
That's sick.
So Rogue has a tendency to make friends older than myself. Okay, this happened to me all throughout high school. And as soon as I went to college, I made friends with almost exclusively juniors and seniors due to joining an organization with only older students. They all quickly took me in and became great friends, often forgetting our age difference and all of us hanging out on weekends. They seriously helped me transition to college life so much, from letting me crash at their houses or saying hi to me on campus or guiding me through my harder classes. I loved feeling quote unquote cool enough to hang around them because I was the only freshman and a lot of them knew. It was tough when COVID hit because I couldn't give any of them a proper goodbye, and it really upset me that I had no closure from that point in our lives. Now that they have jobs and I haven't even seen half of them since then, it's really hard to cope with the fact that our friendship basically ended overnight. I get it. They're in a whole new stage of life and navigating in whatever city they moved to, and I'm in college still, so we have less in common. But it really hurts now that we barely talk and didn't get to grow closer because of the year being cut 2 months short and a summer short. I don't know how to cope with these friends leaving, and this spring it will be the same with people I'm even closer with. This is so hard for me because these people were my first friends in college, and I have to watch everyone in my organization leave until I will be the last one around. Literally, my best friend since my freshman year of high school is 3 years older than me and has a job, serious boyfriend, and is taking classes, so I've gone through this same thing with her. We rarely hang out anymore, even though I ask, and I know she's busy, but it still stings that she almost never reaches out to see me unless I prompt it. It just feels like I'm outgrown by people constantly, and I get left behind because of my age, like I'm forgotten. I know I'm not a bad friend, that's just something I know about myself, so that's not why this happens. I just want to have real friends who will stick with me and remember to put effort into our relationship. Help!
First of all, I have decided to rename you from Rogue to Outlaw because I think that's way cooler.
Outlier.
No, Outlaw.
Okay.
We don't want to call her a liar. We just said that liar's bad.
But Outlier, not liar.
Call her a liar.
No, I
wasn't. She's asking for help.
I was like Malcolm Gladwell.
First of all, I don't think you're a liar. I think you're pretty awesome, actually. Thank you.
I don't think you're out.
Nice.
Thanks.
This is the weirdest time in life where people are going to be constantly cycling in and out of your life because they're moving on to where they're going next. And friendships just don't stick like that.
Yeah. It's easily. Also just a weird time in everyone's life in general. Mm-hmm. Like even us in our 30s, just the pandemic with COVID and everything, people are scrambling. They're trying to figure out what to do with their lives now. Like their whole world got shifted. Like they may be furloughed or... had to move states. A lot of my esthetician, she had to, like, she lost her business because of COVID and she had to move to a different state. And now she's studying nursing. She's going back to nursing school because she can't keep her business afloat. So the last thing she's thinking about is hanging out with friends. She's trying to, like, survive. So a lot of these people, especially since they're not in college anymore, they don't have school to focus on. They got to figure out how to survive. They got to figure out like how to get their lives together in this difficult time of COVID.
Yeah, and I think that Outlaw knows that generally, but it's important to remember you are a good friend. This really doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Is this is not personal.
Yeah, it's just a frustrating time because even when your close friend has time, she's got her boyfriend and she's like trying to put. You know, when she has spare time, I'm sure she wants to spend it with someone she actually has sex with and stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
It just is.
Yeah. Also, 19 is a hard age. I think, like, 19 is my least favorite age because even when you turn 20, you're still not old enough to go out drinking with people. So, like, super you just weird. Naturally are left behind. But I was the same way where all my friends were older and they all graduated college around the same time and they all moved away because I lived in a college town, so they had all come from different places, and then when they graduated they moved away, whereas I was still there in Santa Barbara, and it was a lonely time because everyone left, and then I was like, well, what do I do now? Like I felt really lonely, but it's just a phase. Everything in life is temporary. You get to know yourself better when you're alone and when you don't have any options to hang out with people. So that's cool.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, you're a good friend. So it's really just about recognizing this actually has nothing to do with you, which it sounds like you understand. And just going, damn, dude, people are going to be zigzagging in and out right now. And just, you know, when you find someone cool who's going to hang around with you, it's going to make it even more special.
Right, exactly. It's going to mean more.
Exactly.
Because you'll know it's the right fit and they're matching you.
I mean, look at how fast these people zagged out of your life, right? Like, it wasn't too hard. You guys weren't that stuck together, so.
Yeah.
When you find someone where it's meaningful, it will be great.
And they'll maybe hopefully be in the same place in life as you.
Of course.
You know, I found I've been the one sometimes to move on from a friend because they stayed in this place in life and now I was in this place in life. You know, I was getting married and, you know, talking about buying a house and having kids and stuff. And she was still living with her mom and didn't have like any career aspects or anything, was single. Like it was, we were just completely different places.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a personal thing.
It wasn't personal.
It was just something that naturally happened.
We didn't have any common interests anymore, like common ground.
Yeah.
And maybe when she gets married and, or like has more the same life path or the same, I'm trying to say? Like the same things going on in her life.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We'll have more to common ground to walk on. So, yeah. Just timing.
And also, one time I saw her pee in the street. But she's a good friend, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
It was a harmless pee.
It was a trickle.
Yeah.
But still, it wasn't a proper place to, I think, have a pee. And that's just my opinion, but I could be
wrong. Didn't you have to pull over for her?
I barely pulled over in time.
Gotcha.
Barely pulled over in time.
Yeah. We love you. We love her.
When that girl says she's got to go, by the way.
She's not lying. She's not a liar.
Not a liar. Not very a liar. Important to remember.
Yeah.
So some of those friends you do lose.
So Outlaw, that's hard. I know it's hard. It feels lonely. And when you're lonely, things feel like they're taking way longer. Like I know this is temporary, but like it's taking a hell of a long time.
If you're not in our Discord, though, I think you're fucking up because that's a fun
place.
Oh,
that's true.
That's a fun place to kick it.
Got some cool-ass people in there. Patreon.com/Sticky. If you didn't know, we have bonus episodes. We have a Discord chat going on. We do live streams. Our live stream is coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but maybe it's this weekend for you, too. We do one a month.
Yeah.
We do one a month.
Very true.
And thank you all so much for submitting your questions. We love hearing from you. We love trying to answer them to the best of our abilities, even though we're not experts, and even though I have a way cooler nickname than Steve.
That's just not true. I wish you'd stop saying that because people are actually starting to believe you.
I don't even say it that often. It just is.
Just the breaker 1-2-3 part. I think that's where you lose me.
Like, that's where the icebreaker
part's
everyone
fine,
likes.
But the breaker part.
That's whatever everyone likes. I didn't.
People don't even talk.
I didn't
that
come
anymore.
Out with that part.
That's like doing. You're like doing an infomercial joke, which nobody even does those kinds
of
infomercials.
No, that's what they. That's what they say. That's what they say.
They don't say that.
They say that. So give us 5 stars on iTunes.
It's like me saying, I'm the ice man and I got the ice plan.
Well, maybe it would have stuck a bit more if they said that about
you. That was pretty good?
It's pretty good.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Or I got a nice plan. You know?
Oh, that's pretty sick. Yeah. Okay, I might have to recalibrate.
Yeah. Give us 5 stars on iTunes if you can. It helps us out a lot. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you could thumbs up this video. That helps with the algorithm. And we will see you next time. We got some really interesting topics coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm freaking stoked for them.
You want to do a little tease?
No.
Nice.